Are you praying for a miracle? That's how I discovered the Be-Do concept, praying for a miracle. I wanted to improve the relationship I had with my husband, but I didn't even know what the problem was or how I should go about fixing it. But that's when I learned about the Be-Do concept and our very different ways of thinking. Today, I have a very special guest with me, Darrell Hoskisson, who is my best friend and helped me figure out this concept in the first place. We'll talk about how it's helped us in our relationships and how it's changed our lives and the way we think today on the Be-Do Concept podcast. Hi, I'm Lindy Kirby, mother of seven, a speaker, singer-songwriter, mentor, author, podcaster, and the founder and developer of the Be-Do Concept. And you're listening to the Be-Do Concept podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This is episode 5 on the podcast, where I teach people about the Be-Do concept, different ways of thinking, and how you can use these different ways of thinking to improve your relationships and your lives. Today, I have a special guest speaker with me today. This is my good friend, Darrell. We have been best friends since college. We were roommates, and she has just been that friend that has been there for me throughout all of the thick and thin of life. When I first started learning about the Be-Do concept, I called my friend just to try to figure out what it was I was learning. It was so crazy. And I learned that my friend actually thought in the same way that my husband did, which was totally crazy to me because everything else about us was the same. We had the same personality type. We had the same goals in life. We really got along well together. And I just couldn't believe that someone that I was having such a hard time getting along with, and my husband, could have the same thinking style as my best friend, who I got along with fine and perfectly. And so it was a really great relationship with her because we'd be able to understand each other, be able to see different perspectives and learn from our different ways of thinking to be able to understand opposites and to be able to understand these differences that have really made a big difference in our life. Darrell, do you want to just tell us a little bit about what you were thinking when you first learned about the Be-Do concept and maybe how you felt as I was wanting to complain about some of these differences that you also thought in those same ways?
Yes, oftentimes you would tell me something and I could see a positive or different perspective of where he was coming from. So a lot of the things he did that didn't make sense to you made perfect sense to me.
I remember that. And I actually had a similar situation with your husband because sometimes you would be telling me things about your husband and I would go, oh, actually, I could see his perspective.
That's so true. Yes. So that was one fun thing. I think that's one reason we've been such good friends all along is because, like you said, we have so much in common with our personality and our goals for life, you know, to be helpful and inspirational to others. And then to have challenges in our own family and our own relationships that we were able to help each other.
For sure. Well, I'd love for you to explain a little bit about that first initial time when we were talking and I was complaining about all of these things my husband was doing. This was when I first learned about our differences in being and doing. And I was complaining to you about the fact that my husband wasn't doing the things that I wished he would do for me, and that loving was about doing. You do things for the people that you love. Do you remember that? And you had a little different perspective than mine.
Well, I know that, for example, you wanted him to do a specific thing that you wanted him to do, and that can feel very constraining to me. Like, I like it to feel genuine. I like it to be my idea. I like to have some creativity in how I do things. So even if you tell me what to do, I like to decide how and when to do it so that it can fit in with my other priorities and can be enjoyable to me and genuine for me. I think that kind of was part of the problem going on where no one, at least I don't like to feel bossed around. And if you're just given a list and you're always expected to do something someone else wants, that can make you feel like a child.
For sure. I know that's been a big thing for the B thinkers I've talked to, is not wanting to be controlled in any way and being able to have the freedom to do things the way you want to do things.
Right. And I understand that there are quality specifications of the finished product, but how to get to that desired end product, I feel like there are multiple equally acceptable ways to get there. And so it feels really prescriptive if someone tells me that I have to do it their favorite way.
I love that. And I've had to learn that, not because I'm trying to control people or trying to tell them exactly how it needs to be done, but as a do thinker, there's different ways I've tried, and I think that I know the best way to do things that will get you the end result that you want. And sometimes it's really frustrating when these bee thinkers want to come up with their own creative way to do things.
I totally understand that. My husband does that exact thing. Okay. So he has taught my children exactly how to wash the counter with the rag flat out and both hands flat on the rag, and you push it, and it is really fast. And you can feel, because it's one layer, you can feel if there are bumps under there. And he knows the best way to wash the counter. He absolutely does. But does that mean that I almost still never do it that way? Because I like to not think about that. I usually have my mind on other things, or like to play. Like, I like to play while I work. So I've got other things on my mind, or music on my mind. Like, enjoying the process is more important to me than doing it a particular way. If, as long as I get the same end result, even if it takes me longer, which is something that frustrates him, because he does know a really fast, really effective way. I'm not saying he doesn't. And I've learned a lot of things by asking him questions that are obvious to him and complete mysteries to me, of how to do things efficiently or well, for example. But I still love to not think about it and just wash the counter however I want, let my mind wander, enjoy the conversation, just enjoy being while I do it.
I love what you just said, because that's what I found about bee thinkers. It's not about time. It's about being. And I think for do thinkers, it's a little bit more about being efficient with time, because time is so valuable to do thinkers. But I do think we get caught up sometimes in that time and don't enjoy the being and the flow of things as we go along.
Yeah, I've noticed that, at least between my husband and myself, that I feel like he's very anchored or time conscious. Very time conscious, time oriented. He has a very specific schedule that he naturally follows, and he likes to follow it. He just is very aware of his time. And in my case, I anchor to priority and purposes. So whatever's my highest priority, or whatever meets the most purposes that day, is my main thing. And that's what I'm going to give my first best effort to at the best time of day. And then as I get tireder throughout the day, I'll do things that are less important or less urgent. And so it's less about time and more about order for me.
I love what you said about purposes, because I think that was something that was surprising to me. Do thinking, I think, is a little bit more about priority in people and the people that we care about the most, making sure we do this person's task list, maybe those things that we want to serve for particular people. And it's in the order that we care about them the most. But bee thinking is a little bit more about those big purposes and the big differences that we can make in the world, more than just maybe particular people.
Can I just make a comment on
yeah,
that?
Please do.
I think that a lot of times when you say do thinkers care about people or about doing things, like, that always gets I always get a big feeling about that, because of course people and their priority to me is super important as well. So I think it's less, I think that's less of the difference. There is, it sounds like, a hierarchy to people that you have. And I have not had that same hierarchy. I have felt like everyone is valuable, everyone matters. And I prioritize people more like an emergency room. Okay. So if my family has what they need, but I have another friend who needs a ride home from the hospital or a ride to the hospital, even more so, I might prioritize that rather than something I was planning to do for my family that day. Even though my family is, you know, obviously higher responsibility, higher closeness, higher priority to me. In general, I don't keep that priority for every decision. So I'm not sure if I'm explaining it very well, but I really do base it on need. So how bad does someone need me compared to someone else? And that has sometimes caused trouble because I judge wrong occasionally. I mean, there have been times when I take a meal out to another family of a sick mother, and then I come home and I did poor planning and I didn't have enough for my family in time. Okay. Way better at that now that I'm an older, more experienced homemaker, you know. So now you just make twice and you take them half, you know. But at the time I was, you know, putting service first, I imagined, like we said about time, I'm not as good at managing time or keeping track of time. It's less important to me. And so by the time I got back, everyone was hungry and I had not prepared for my own family. So it does backfire on me, especially when I was younger. Not so much now. I'm better at predicting what will happen and knowing that I need to triple how long I think things will take.
I love all that. That is a really big difference between, I would say, the be thinkers and the do thinkers is priority. That's a great topic. We could do a whole podcast just on that one. But I love that you shared that sometimes it backfires on you because I think that's one of the strengths of the do thinkers is knowing, well, this is how this is going to work. This is the result that you're going to get. And it's easy to see that, where B thinkers don't always see the same things that do thinkers think. And B thinkers have other strengths that do thinkers don't even think about. And that's been one of the cool things about learning these different ways of thinking is that when you put the two together and you start thinking in both be thinking ways and do thinking ways, that's when you rise to a different level of understanding and strengths. And you're not always good at it, but at least you can see the different sides to see maybe that when you prioritize the need above, you know, the hierarchy, as you were explaining it in the family situation or something, that it wasn't meant to be unkind. It wasn't meant to be hurtful to anyone, but it can come across that way if you don't understand the opposite way of thinking. And I've changed a little bit that way to think more about need-based decisions over the hierarchy sometimes, because that makes a difference too.
Well, I remember the first time when you called me up with this as a concept, and that was a really exciting day for me because a lot of things fell into place of understanding. And if I was to summarize what I think was the key element or surprise about it, was how people can assume things and be completely assuming the wrong thing about another. And they can also think something is obvious when it's completely not obvious to the other person. So assumptions and believing something is obvious leaves us with communication gaps that we don't even realize we're having. We think we're communicating clearly. And to us, it's very clear, but that is not coming to the same picture in the other person's mind. So, you know, often we'll give directions and we'll think the other person is on the same page, and then come to find out, you know, we've had this. I can give you an example. I'm driving, my husband's in the passenger seat, and we're coming up to a toll booth, and he wanted me to get in the fastest one. Now he thought it was obvious which one I should go get into of the many choices. There were like five or six lanes, and most of them were green. My priority personally was to not have to change lanes. I was willing to wait in line and not have to merge. Like that was totally fine for me. This was totally not fine for him. You know, he was really getting bothered and he was trying to get me to move to the right lane that he thought would be faster, but he thought it was obvious which one would be faster. So he wasn't being clear. So even though I was trying to please him and trying to change to the right lane, which I honestly had no idea which one was correct. In his mind, it was obvious, but to me, it was not obvious. And it was just so bad that afterwards, I didn't even want to drive, you know, because I am a pleaser. Like, I really prioritize what would please my husband. Like, I love spoiling him if I can. But in this case, I was trying very hard to please, and instead, we were both getting upset. And so to me, that was an example of where it was obvious to him. He thought he was being clear. And even though I was trying to go out of my way to do things his way rather than mine, which my way would have been to just be patient and wait in line and not have to merge or bother with changing lanes, it still blew up because I wasn't able to understand quickly enough to make the change he wanted. And I wasn't able to like guess what he was trying to say to me. And it was so obvious to him, he didn't realize it needed to be said. So that is an example of one that totally failed for us. It was a total fail. But an example of be thinking and do thinking, in my opinion, because there was a right lane to be in that he knew probably would be fastest, and he was probably right. But I could not guess which one it was. It was just a mess.
I love that example, and I do think it's a great example between B thinkers and D thinkers, because in your way you're fine to just be just to sit there to enjoy the moment. I think that's a B thinking trait.
Yeah, and as far as, you know, to avoid the stress of changing lanes was a lot calmer for me. So you're right. It was a, how the process of driving makes me feel, and I would rather do it in a calm way than, you know, always be changing lanes and trying to worry about traffic. So yes, being patient pays off for me. It does cost me a little time, but in my opinion, doesn't cost me much, and for the difference in the experience is way worth it.
I love that because do thinkers have a different experience. We love being able to go from one lane to the other and being able to figure out which is the fastest and to go from, one way to the other. And that's part of our experience as well. But they're different. They're just different.
Right. And I think it's important to realize that what is motivating or a positive for one person can be completely opposite experience for another. Because, yes, exactly. That was already what was happening. What was calming and comforting for me to just stay in the same lane was stressing my husband enough that he's asking me to change lanes. So it was relaxing for me, stressful for him. And it's the same on a day off from work, you know, where he still loves to. You should have seen him when he had COVID. He still did almost all of his routine. You know, that was just something he really likes to do. And he's just amazing that way. And I really admire that about him. But it doesn't mean I want to be like that. And there's another B for you.
I love it. I love that because, yes, do thinkers love their schedules. They love their habits and the ways they do one thing to the next. And I also love what you said that it is inspiring to you because I think be thinkers and do thinkers are inspiring to each other. One of the things that I have always been inspired by you is your ability to want to help and serve and serve in the community and do some of these things that I would never do because of my hierarchy. My family would always come first, and I would never feel like I could get out of my own family to help serve in the community. But sometimes you'd pick those things first, and I didn't even know how you did that.
Yeah, I think that part of my worldview, and I have no idea if this is true for other bees, because I can only speak for myself. But, when you know people are starving, how can you not care or do something? You know what I mean? Even if my family's okay. So I do have a very big picture. I feel connected to the whole world. And that's both positive and negative, because positive, I love to work with organizations that are actually doing something to feed people, not just to feed them, but to help them feed themselves, like Echo here in Florida, or like our church that helps famine and refugee victims. I love being a part of that. That's so important to me that I am not just pr providing for my family and ignoring the big picture. So, but that same thing, I mourn with those that mourn in other countries, and so, and I'm not the only one. I know everyone is sorry for the war going on with Russia, for example. But I have to be careful about watching the news or that kind of thing, because it can hit me very personally. And I'm not sure if that's true for everyone. I don't know.
Well, and that's interesting that you said earlier that you feel a little bit pricked about not feeling like, or when I talk about caring about other people or that you don't care. And then I feel a little pricked sometimes when we talk about world things that I'm not doing things about or for. It's not that I don't care about the world's problems and all those kinds of things, but I have a different priority too of what I can do and what I can affect in the moment, which, as I've thought more in being ways, that has opened up more to me where I do feel like, well, maybe I can help in the world and maybe I can make a difference. But I think be thinking and do things, they just look at these problems different. And it's not that we should try to attack each other and say, well, you don't care, because I think people do care in either the big picture way or the detail way, but we just have a different focus, a different priority, and we can only look at what we're thinking about at the time.
Yeah, and I think you made a really good point that even when we're expressing ourselves and what matters to us, it sounds like we're judging the other person as not caring or as not, because they're not taking the same actions we would do because we care. It seems like not care, and that's just not true. And that's scalable, meaning, between two people, but also between me in another country or whatever. Like, it's just people take different actions to show they care, and they assume different things mean that they care, and what they want from other people they assume would be meaningful and helpful to that person. And really, I said it at church the other day, people aren't you. You can put yourself in another's place and you can be dead wrong, because you are not them. So doing what you wish someone would do for you in their situation may not be what they need. And that can be really eye-opening. Again, to exactly what would support me may feel undermining to you.
I appreciate that comment because that was what was happening in my own marriage. I felt like if my husband loved me, then he would be doing the same types of actions that I would be doing. And I felt like the things I was doing would be helpful to him and making him feel loved. And we were both wrong. The things that we were trying to show love weren't helpful. And I just assumed that he thought like me. And I'm sure he was thinking the same thing, so that when we do take those actions and feel like they should make a difference or that they should matter or that they should be understood, sometimes we are, like you said, just wrong, totally and completely wrong because we think differently.
Well, and I think that's why this concept, understanding that there are different ways of thinking, is so eye-opening. Because it isn't that we hadn't figured this out over the years talking about our husbands, and our different relationships and figuring out, oh, I can understand that and you could understand that, and back and forth. But just realizing, okay, So even if I say this exact word, this can hit you differently than it hits me. Respect is an example of a word that means completely different things to me and my husband. So if I'm showing respect in my way of respect, it still can come across not respect to him. So being able to define those things with whoever you're developing a relationship for, especially key important things like respect or like support. I feel supported when, or this would mean the most to me. And also understanding that it's okay if it's different. But then on the other side, and I'm so glad we're still talking about it, is realizing how difficult something that seems easy to you might be can be for the other person. In fact, sometimes completely unrealistic or impossible. So it seems easy to just relax and be with me, but that might drive you crazy. Or why don't you just relax and be with me? Well, I'm bored silly. I just don't know what to do. There's not enough structure, or vice versa, where, you just want me. I'll give you another example that is crazy, but just drives me crazy. Is my husband likes the same kind of candy. Still, can you believe it? His whole life, he likes the same candy. It shouldn't be difficult for me to buy Starbursts, Skittles, and Reese's peanut butter cups again. But there are times when I just because I can hardly stand to buy it again because there's so many other candies out there. And I love variety. And it's like hard to believe that he would limit himself to these three choices. When there's so much other candy, like I get tired of the same thing over and over again. So this is probably not even a be do. This is probably completely just, preferences. But you would not think that that would be hard. You would think that would be easy to just buy the same thing again. So it's an example of something that should be easy that is actually difficult for me.
I appreciate that. No, and I believe that. That's your being way. And I have seen this in all the bee thinkers I've talked about it. They do. They love variety. They love to live. They love to explore. They don't want to be limited, like in any way. If they feel limited, they're like, oh, they gotta fight that. But do thinkers, they do. They know what they like. And I'm the same way. I know what candy I like. You get me this every time, I'm going to be happy. I don't need
Every
to
time.
go, yes, you don't have to explore a million different things. If I mean Zupas, I know which salad I get and I know which soup I get or which whatever it is, I get the same thing every time because I've tried a couple others and I didn't like it. So why not get the one I know I like every single time?
At least for me, and I don't know if this is true for other bees. But the experience is still worth it, even if it's negative. So, like exploring different things is fun to try, even if you decide you didn't like it. So there is some value I have in experience, even if it's not the perfect experience. And actually, just having it predictable takes some of the fun out of it for me because I like to see what would happen. I think of it like an experiment. And if I already know the result, why do that again?
Darrell, I have one question that I think would be really helpful to those that are listening. What would you say has made the biggest difference since you've learned the be do concept? How has it helped you or helped you understand different people? What has been your biggest takeaway from the concept?
Well, I'd say there's a couple of things. First, in relationships, I think the big takeaway for me is realizing there is another way of thinking, and what appears obvious or easy is not necessarily so. For me personally, like how I can use the different ways of thinking to manage roadblocks in my progress, I realize that if I get stuck in a goal that I'm trying to accomplish and I don't know what the next move is, I can see how I'm approaching that goal. if I'm approaching it in a being type of way and I'm stuck, then being able to move into a doing kind of way or ask my husband or a do person what they would do often gives me a big aha that's obvious to them that I haven't thought of. And then taking that different approach will often help me get closer to what I'm aiming for. So those are the two ways I would say.
And that's been the same for me. So I appreciate you summing that up so well. Is there anything else you can think of that you would just like to share that might be helpful to our audience and listeners?
Sure. I think that, like you said, about B thinkers not liking to be limited or put in a group or labeled. This is so true for me. It makes the whole be do concept difficult, just difficult to discuss because I don't like being put in a category, especially not a category that hasn't been researched and verified for years. Okay. So, for example, the different personality types, that's been around for years. So the fact that I fit into a personality type, I have to tell you that I've explored it to where I have four personality types. I wanted to know all the personality types I could be. So even in the four-part Briggs personality test, I've explored all the things I could be. And so I don't like to feel limited in a label. And I do like to explore the edges of possibility. And I keep, you know, what's possible tomorrow, not knowing what's possible. Those things are really exciting to me. Whereas I think they could be scary or a negative for people who like more structure and like that defining characteristic about themselves. So I think if you're a B thinker, and you don't like to be called a B thinker, or if you are to say things in ways that sound just a little bit wrong, it's going to hit some of the B thinkers or people like me a little bit wrong. It'd be easy to throw the whole baby out with the bathwater and be like, oh, this just isn't for me. This isn't going to be helpful. But I feel like if you can look past little problems with words that might not hit you right, that you can find a lot of useful use to understanding a different way of thinking and understanding where people might be coming from in ways you've never thought of.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I've learned a lot about that, and we've worked a little bit with that together at the beginning. I used to call us B's and do's. Do you remember that? And you hated that.
Oh, I really hated it because I don't know anyone that's more busy doing things than I am. I literally do not know anyone busier. I have always been a doer. I'm one who multi-purposes and multitasks. Okay. So to say you're not a doer, you're just being there is like such a catastrophic underestimation of how I view myself that I can't even think of it that way at all.
Yep. And it's helpful because now we think of it more in a be thinking way and a do thinking way. And that's opened my eyes as well, away from a label per se to a different way of looking at something and being able to think in a different way, which has really helped me. And it's helped a lot of people that I've been able to talk to and coach through.
Yeah, I've really appreciated that, being able to use it as a way of thinking rather than feeling stuck in a box and this is the only way I can think.
Right. And a lot of those Myers-Briggs and labeling personality type things, they say, this is how you are, you can't change. And I think this concept is just more eye-opening, expanding, where you don't want to be just stuck in one way. But you can look at other ways to look at things and think about things.
Well, that's one of the biggest advantages to studying this at all, in my opinion,
for
sure, is to have other options, other ways of looking at things.
Well, thanks so much, Darrell. This has been really fun and I hope helpful to our audience as they can just see all the different ways it does affect. We talked about a lot of different things, but I hope it was eye-opening in seeing how it affects relationships. It affects how we can move forward, how we can get unstuck, and a lot of that labeling thing that might be keeping people from wanting to look at this concept more. Hopefully it's given you a little taste so that you want to learn more and it can help you in moving forward. So thanks again for listening. If you want any more support above the podcast, you can go to my website at lindykirby.com and look at the mentoring that I offer there. I'm excited to help in any way that I can. If you have questions, please go ahead and ask me. I would love to answer them in the podcast or individually. And thanks again for listening. We'll talk to you again next week on the Be Do Concept Podcast.